The First Testament lesson today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 18 through 23, and that can be found on page 697 of your pew Bible. Please listen for the word of the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts, and I am coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and shall see my glory. And I will set a sign among them. From them I will send survivors to the nations, to Tarshish, Put, and Lud, which draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands far away that have not heard of my fame or seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the nations. They shall bring all your kindred from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots and in litters and on mules and on dromedaries, to my holy mountain in Jerusalem, says the Lord. Just as the Israelites bring a grain offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord. And I will also take some of them as priests and as Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. From new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This morning we continue our study in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Last week we looked at the opening portion in which Paul talked about the fact that God had called and chosen all of these people and drawn them into this community in order to help bless the world. And Paul's going to pick up more with that about what Christ has done for them so that they can indeed bless the world. So we're in the second chapter. We're looking at verses 11 through 22. And by the way, just real quickly, to get everyone on up to speed here, when it talks about the circumcision and the non-circumcision, the circumcision are referring to the Jewish people. The non-circumcision are referring to the Romans, to the Gentiles. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision, by those who were called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He's abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in the place of two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he, meaning Jesus, came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The word of the Lord. They really didn't like each other. In fact, you could almost say they hated each other. And the each other I'm talking about are the folks who lived in the Roman Empire, the non-Jews and the Jews. They really just didn't like each other. Now, the Romans didn't like the Jews because, well, in their eyes, the Jews were atheists. Now, I realize that sounds sort of odd, right? Because the Jews worshipped Yahweh, the God of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so it would seem odd that the Romans would think of them as atheists. But in Rome, if you were a good Roman, you worshipped the Pantheon. You went to the temples and you gave your offerings and you went to the festivals and you did all of the stuff associated with the gods and goddesses, and that made you a real believer. Anyone who didn't do that, and the Jews didn't do that because they worshiped the God of Israel, they were atheists. And so they didn't like them. But that wasn't all. That once upon a time, the Roman Empire had told the Jews that they could be the only religion who didn't have to do this kind of worship. That in fact, they had permission to just worship their God, which means there were a lot of things they didn't have to do, including paying money and going to these temples. And so the Romans resented them. They resented their exclusion from the worship in the community. And by the way, in Rome, there's no separation of church and state. It's all just one thing wrapped up together. And so if you didn't worship the gods, it essentially meant you weren't loyal to Rome. It meant you were a traitor. It meant you actually put Rome at risk because the gods might take vengeance on Rome because you weren't worshiping. And so what this led to was anti-Jewish riots in places like Alexandria. And ultimately in Rome, all of the Jews were once upon a time during Paul's ministry actually kicked out of the city because they didn't want them there. The Romans didn't like the Jews. Conversely, the Jews really didn't like the Romans. They didn't like the Romans because the Romans were pagans. The Romans didn't worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Romans worshiped all of these gods and goddesses, and they gave offerings. And all of this was completely the opposite of what Jews believed that people ought to do. And they didn't like the Romans because not only had the Romans conquered their home nation and put them under an oppressive regime, but the Romans were cultural imperialists. How many of you have ever traveled overseas? When you're overseas, how many of you have heard American music? Seen American movies? Okay, right. We're cultural imperialists. All right. So there you go. Our culture is sort of being foisted on the rest of the world. It's the same way with Rome. Wherever the Romans went, including the Holy Land, they would build colosseums where they would have Olympic games where men would compete naked, which was just anathema to the Jews. This was horrible. And they would create Roman baths and they would have Roman customs. And so the Jews just didn't like them, didn't trust them. And so what the Jews did to protect themselves from this cultural imperialism, this push of Roman society and culture upon them, is they literally built religious walls. They would take the commandments in the Old Testament and they would sort of continually upgrade them. Say you weren't supposed to, so one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not commit adultery, right? Okay, well, that wasn't really good enough. And so what you needed to do was you need to make sure that you wouldn't be tempted to commit adultery. So what you did was you said, well, the law really says you that men shouldn't talk to women who aren't their wives. Okay, so you sort of build a little bit higher wall. Well, that wall really wasn't high enough because a man might look at a woman and therefore want to commit adultery with her. And so you built the wall higher and you said, nah, you're not even supposed to look at women. And there were actually Pharisees who did this and they went around bumping into things. But see, what they did was they built these tremendous walls intended to keep their religious practices in and Roman culture out. So they really didn't like each other, which I suppose would have been fine, except for one small detail. And that was the people of God were supposed to bless the world. For those of you who were here last week, we talked about that, that God had chosen these people in order to bless the world. But the problem with that was if you're behind your walls and you really have zero contact or as little contact as possible with the world out there, you can't bless it. The people of God couldn't fulfill the destiny to which God had called them. And Paul says, that's why God sent Jesus. That God sent Jesus to break down the walls. Listen to the way Paul puts it in this portion of his letter. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, he's talking to the Romans here, who were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the wall that is the hostility between us. What Jesus Christ came to do was to break down these walls that separated the Gentile world from the Jewish world, the male world from the female world, the slave world from the free world. That Christ came to break these barriers, to tear them down, so that in God, in Christ, all humanity might be one. Might be one. You heard the reading that Sally did out of Isaiah at the very end of the book of Isaiah in chapter 66, where God says, I'm going to bring everybody together. I'm going to call all nations to myself so that they can be one people. And so when Christ came through his life, his death, his resurrection, he destroys these walls that separate people and began to make us one humanity. And what that made possible was peace. And I know that that Paul's language here, there's just a lot going on. But I hope you noticed how often Paul talked about peace in this passage. And let me be clear when I'm talking about peace. I'm not talking about Roman peace. The kind of peace that, in fact, it was called the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. The peace of Rome was peace that was gained at the edge of a sword. In other words, be peaceful or we'll kill you. Right? I mean, not real subtle, but that was the peace of Rome. It's also not the peace of the oppressed. Because when people are often oppressed, they will not raise their voices. They will not rise up because they're afraid of what's going to happen to them. That's a different kind of peace. The peace that Paul's talking about, that Christ brought, is a peace that takes enemies and makes them friends. It's a peace that takes strangers and makes them family. It's a peace that takes a divided community and makes it one.
This is the kind of peace that Christ was bringing. Listen again. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he's made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall. That is the hostility between us. He's abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances. This is the wall that Judaism built. Okay? He's torn that down that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death the hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who are far off and peace to you who are close by. This is the peace that Christ brought. It was the ability to destroy the hostility that divided one set of people against another. And by the way, in the church at Ephesus, they got it. Because the church of Ephesus was composed of Jews and Gentiles, Jews and Romans, who had hated, who had disliked, who had had no regard for the other. And now suddenly here they are, one community in Christ Jesus. Now the question becomes, how is this possible? And the answer is through the Spirit. That it is the Spirit, Paul says, that takes what Christ has done on the cross and sends it out into the world. That it makes possible the breaking down of barriers. It makes possible reconciliation among people, among races, among those who are divided over any number of issues. The Spirit is capable of doing that. And he talks about it in verse 18. For through him both of us have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're citizens with the saints, members of the household of God. This is what the Spirit does. Now I realize that some of you may be saying, well, John, this is all interesting and kind of cool, maybe. But what does it really have to do with me, with us in the 21st century? What is this reconciliation between Romans and Jews in the first century? What does it have to do with us? Well, I want to begin sort of looking at that with a quote. And if anyone knows who said this quote and when they said it, I'll take you to lunch, okay? It's probably not all that familiar a quote, but I think it's appropriate. We have a Statue of Liberty on the East Coast given to us by a foreign community, but we need a Statue of Unity built by all Americans for all Americans in every American community. Today, our nation is not united. This country is in trouble because too many Americans prefer not to know each other, not to care about each other. Our country cannot go on like this. Anybody know? Good. Lunch is safe. It was Sergeant Shriver. Okay, see, I see a lot of nods. Sergeant Shriver, who, dear to my heart, created the Peace Corps. Always grateful to him for that. But he was speaking at a conference on race in 1967. In the middle of the riots around the country, in the middle of the divisiveness of the war, he understood clearly that America was a nation that was divided among itself. Now, if we're honest this morning, what we will admit and acknowledge is that we're not as divided as we once were. That we are not as divided a nation as we once were. That things are better. Here in Detroit, there is no longer redlining. And redlining was the practice by which realtors could not show African Americans houses outside of a district that had this boundary, this sort of magic boundary around it. And not only that, the federal government wouldn't give loans to African Americans who tried to buy outside that boundary. That's all gone. We no longer have de facto segregated schools. I grew up in a segregated elementary school in Texas. I didn't see a black person until I got into junior high school, because until then, the schools were all segregated. The Supreme Court ruling this week legalizing marriage equality, same-sex marriage, is a step in inclusion within the United States. It is a step forward to assuring that all human beings have the same rights regardless of race or creed or sexual orientation. We have come a long way in this country. But if we're even more honest with ourselves, we'll acknowledge we have a long way to go. And I say that because after the shooting in Charleston, there is a significant portion of our population that says that shooting was not about race. It was an attack on religion, on Christianity. Regardless of the fact that it was a white man who held up a Confederate battle flag and joined all sorts of organizations and made it clear that he was out to kill black people. We still have a long way to go, because even today across the South, and by the way, what I'm about to say, I say as someone who grew up in Texas and who some of my ancestors fought for the Confederacy. So I'm not saying this as a northerner who has no connection to the South. But even today in the South, there are the states that have the Confederate battle flag as part of their flags. And if you're not aware, those flags only became part of their flags, the Confederate part, in the early 1960s, as a statement against integration, as a statement for segregation. And there are people who still defend that because that's what they believe, that they ought to have that kind of white supremacy, and we have to continue to lift it up in the face of those whom it denigrates. We have a long way to go, because after the Supreme Court ruling this week, for those of you who sort of keep your nose to the news, there were pastors who said that Christians ought to get up and protest against this. Politicians who said we need an amendment to the Constitution to do away with this. We ought to strip these rights from people. See, we're still a country divided. We're still a country divided by race and religion. We're still a country divided by politics. We're still a country divided by fear and racism. We are still a country divided. We have not arrived, regardless of what some people want to say. We are not there yet. But here's the hope. Sometimes it's easy for us to just sort of throw up our hands and say, well, it's just the way the world is. But the hope is that in Jesus Christ, the barriers have been broken. In the power of the Spirit, unity and reconciliation is possible. Across political lines, across racial lines, across lines of sexual orientation, reconciliation is possible because of what God did in Jesus Christ on the cross and because of what the Spirit still does in the world. It can be done. And it's our job to work at it, because we are part of that new humanity. On the news yesterday evening, the national news, there was an article, there was a piece about the woman who'd scaled the flag in, I guess, South Carolina and pulled it down and put it back up. But all around the state house, there were people protesting, and they all had the battle flag, you know, the stars and bars flag of the Confederacy. And they were sort of over here, and over here were a bunch of young black men and women. And I just looked at that and I thought, oh man, this is not going to be pretty. But a fascinating thing happened. Some of the black men and women went over to these people with the stars and bars and started explaining to them how this flag tore at their hearts and their lives, how it diminished them. And then, as they were doing that, they cut away back to the reporter, and then they cut back for just an instant to those people. And the guys with the stars and bars, you know, they have these long beards and they've got tats everywhere, and I know what I would call them in Texas, but I won't do it here. But one of the young black men, as he sort of finished talking, reached out his hand. And the guy with the flag and the tats reached out his, and they shook hands. That was a moment of reconciliation. Now, I don't know whose mind, if anyone, was changed in that moment. But what that moment said is that we can be one. Conversation is possible. Love is possible. That we can become one community, one family. That is our challenge, my friends. We've been called by God to bless the world. And through the Spirit, we've been given the ability to go out there and tear down walls and build bridges. Build bridges. And so the challenge I want to offer to all of you who are here this morning is this. To ask yourself, in my sphere of influence, wherever that is, how am I tearing down walls and building bridges that we in this nation might be one people? One people under the love and grace of God in and through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you have called us to be one humanity. And you have promised us the gift of the Spirit to empower this process. Help us to allow the Spirit to use us to be the bridge builders in this divided world. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.